Turn over to Acts chapter 6 today. Praise God. Well, let's pick it up from last week. I've been speaking a message called Full of It. Last week, I didn't get into the message a whole lot. I just kind of gave some vision casting and some thoughts about where we were going this year. And I would really like, if you didn't watch this yet, to go online and watch it or catch up with us on audio on the website. And don't leave. I mean, you know, you'll get enough. I'm going to give you a little bit of what I said last week. But really listen to it and really listen to what I feel the Lord is speaking to me as the leader of this church and in what God wants to do in our lives. Amen. And so let's pick it up from last week. Our theme for 2022 is full of the Spirit. Our scripture for the year is found over in Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, ladies, do not get upset by the Bible's verbiage, okay? I believe that what God is speaking to us here at the church is seek out among you men and women of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. We understand the times that the Bible was written in. We understand that men were the force in the church, and we get all that. We're not going to get into that because there's some good things for you ladies that can come out of that too. So just know that. But I want you to know this isn't just about seven men. This is about a church of men and women who are full of the Spirit. Amen. And that's what God is speaking to us. So I just want to lay that down. I probably don't have to, because if you're full of the Spirit, you know that anyway. But I do want to lay that down. Last Sunday, I gave you an idea of where I think we are going. God doesn't just show me a whole picture. He gives me some ideas and says, this is the way, walk ye in it and lead the church in these things. But some of the things that I believe that the Lord is speaking to this church family. So that's why I want you to listen to that from last week and catch up on it if you can. And some of the things and ways that we're going to respond to His Word, I believe, this year. We have a schedule full of guest speakers coming, some of them for extended weekend services. I talked about that last week. I really hope that you will get on board with these, as I believe that these men, specifically Pastor Dennis Shear and Pastor John Jenkins, I believe that they are going to lead us, and maybe other voices that God brings, but right now I don't have planned. They're going to lead us in things that God has for us. And I believe, and I've been praying with them, that they're going to begin to speak things into this church that are just going to echo in our hearts as, yes, amen, that's for me, that's for us. This is where God's leading us. This is what God's saying, and we're going to be about it. Pastor Dennis has had a whole rejuvenation of his heart in regards to speaking messages and things like that. And he's excited to begin to get out. And he's had good reports from the doctor, from these COVIDs. He just went for, a pulmonologist, is that right? Whatever it is. And, you know, somebody who deals with the lungs. And he is getting a lot of clearing from them and a lot of good words. So we're excited about that. And his heart's excited and his heart is full from all the time that he's had to study God's word and to speak some things into the church. So I'm really excited about him coming in April. And September, I believe it is. You can check it on the calendar. I want to encourage those of you who have not yet started your journey of discipleship with Operation Solid Lives, that this would be the year that you would do so. In other words, if you've not taken any level, begin at level one. All the levels are starting soon. Level one should have already started. We are waiting for people to join that, and then we will start at some point. Level two is going to happen. I forget the date, but it's going to happen. We already have people signed up and people committed to it. So level two is going to happen. And I've also given you dates for level three, four, and five this year. And so keep those things in mind. And if you've not, for whatever reason, and there are a ton of reasons why people have not taken Operation Solid Lives, I'm going to encourage you, if you go no further, at least take level one. Yeah, but Pastor, you're going to ask me to do, get over that. God's going to ask you to do more serious things and more greater things than those things. Okay, so just know that. And let's really enter into a solid life with Jesus Christ. And then I went over the church's vision statement last week. I do that every year. I try to bring into focus for the new year and to let our newer people who maybe haven't heard it before, you will hear it during membership class, hear it for the first time and get excited about it and say, wow, that's what this church is about. That's what we believe. Then I want to be involved here. Or maybe you're going to look at it and say, wow, then this isn't the place for me. I get that. But let God speak to you about it. And so go ahead and listen to that message from last week. And then we started this message, which I plan to finish today. Well, when I put that line in my notes that we plan to finish today. That's not going to happen. We are going to finish it next week. So, because God is just keep adding. And maybe next week I'll tell you we're going to finish it in February. I don't know. But as long as the Holy Spirit continues to speak to me and give me new thoughts to think about and look at, then that's what we're going to. So the message title is Full of It. I'm entitling this Full of It Part 2. Turn with me over to our scripture for the year in Acts 6:3. And we find it nestled in the middle of a story of one of the struggles in the New Testament church. Aren't you glad? Isn't it comforting to know that even the New Testament church, as on fire as they were for Jesus and so full of the Holy Spirit, that they had some struggles? Isn't that comforting to know? Because that means, you know what, there's hope for us. Amen? It means God can do some things in us. It gives us hope, right? And you know, and hopefully we can say, well, if God was able to do this in their midst, then God is able to do it in our midst. And that struggle starts over in verse 1. So Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. You've heard this story before. I think I even spoke from it last week, but this is a little different in the speaking. It's not the same message. So don't worry, I didn't go back and grab notes. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. This is the struggle in the New Testament church. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. This was food that was given out to the widows of the church. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples, because there's a multitude of disciples now. The church is growing. And they said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve table. Verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Permanus, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Read all of that to say this. It's not about the struggle of the church. But I wanted to say this. When there is a problem in the church, who do you want to handle it? You know, who is it that we want to look for? You don't need those who are offended, because they already have an axe to grind, right? You don't necessarily need the trained counselors, because I have found out in counseling and sending people to counselors that sometimes counselors don't understand the system and the government and the way the church works. And so sometimes they counsel people differently than I counsel people as a pastor. Now, I am not a trained counselor, so I would say, hey, they know a lot more than I do, but I can give pastoral counseling because I'm trained in the Word of God. And I can tell people when they come into my office, okay, I understand your situation. This is what the Bible says about it. But sometimes if they don't want to accept that, then I will say, well, I think what you need is a counselor. And I try to give them a Christian counselor, Dr. Ron Newman, whose schedule is probably busier than ever just because of his counseling and things like that. I try to give them his name, but they can't always go there because of insurances and things like that. And sometimes they'll go to another counselor. It's not a Christian. And they'll come back with some things contrary to what I said, which then I will say to them, listen, I'm giving you scriptural counseling. I want you to know that trained counselor may not understand this. They don't understand the things of God. But I do want you to know, if you'll take the things of God and apply them to what they're saying, you can never go wrong. Does that make sense? And so we don't need a trained counselor in these situations. What we need are those who are full of the Spirit. That's what we need. And that's right away who the disciples said to look for. Look for those who are full of the Spirit. The disciples were evidently men full of the Spirit. How do we know? Because they didn't just try to fix the situation. I've been a pastor who has tried to just fix the situation. I know pastors who have just tried to fix the situation. Something happens, and we just try to fix it. We just try to make sure nobody's hurt, nobody's feelings are ruffled. Can I tell you this? It doesn't work. You can try to keep people happy, and you will die in an early grave trying to keep people happy in a church body. You cannot do it. And so you need people that are full of the Spirit. You need men and women full of the Spirit. And so the disciples, they don't try to fix it. They don't try to put a Band-Aid on it. They don't even try to do it themselves, because they recognize the importance of what they are involved in. And I know it doesn't say that they prayed here, but I guarantee you they prayed here. I guarantee when the Hellenists started to, and these were Greek, the Hellenists were Greek. So they were Greek Christians. They weren't Jewish, they were Greek. And so somehow in the distribution of the daily rations to the widows, their widows were being overlooked. Was it a prejudice? I have no idea. We don't get all the details. For some reason, their widows were being overlooked. And so these men, they realize, the 12 disciples realize that, you know what? We're busy doing what we need to do. We're doing what the Lord has called us to do. And so I guaranteed they bowed their heads and they said, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we need some wisdom here. And that wisdom comes, and their answer was the wisdom of heaven. Don't just throw people into a vacant place. Can I tell you, I've done that before? Somebody leaves the church and I'm like, oh, we need to fill that position. Let's put so and so. Let's throw so-and-so in there, and so-and-so, they mean well, but it's not their gifting, it's not their calling, and soon, you know, they're leaving the church, or they're just, Pastor, I quit, and listen, I've been there, and I can tell you it's a lot of pain in it when we just try to fill a place and just try to throw somebody in it. We can't just sweep it under the carpet, because how many know something here was happening that was sincere? There was a sincere problem here. These widows were being overlooked. For whatever reasons, they were being overlooked. This was a genuine, it was happening. So people were hurt. People were getting forgotten. People were getting overlooked. It was happening. The answer from heaven, the wisdom of heaven, through men who are full of the Spirit, the answer was seek out seven who are of good reputation and who are full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. Can I ask you a question today? How were these men that they were going to pick? How did they have good reputation? I'll tell you why. Because they were full of the Holy Spirit. How were these seven men that they were going to pick? How were they going to have wisdom? I'll tell you how they were going to have wisdom. They were full of the Holy Spirit. And that's how they got wise. They were of good reputation and they were wise because they were full of the Holy Spirit. And we will look in the future at what it means to be full of the Spirit. So I'm not going to leave you hanging, but this isn't that message. Just hang with me. And even at the end of this message, I'm going to say, don't go ahead. Don't try to rush this. I will bring all of this out as we go through this entire teaching this year. Just know that. But for today's message, I want to look at three things in the church that we need Spirit-filled people for. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I want to encourage you. That if you are Spirit-filled, and we'll talk about what that means, if you are Spirit-filled, if you are full of the Holy Spirit, that you would say, wow, I need to lend myself to these things in the church. And if you don't know if you're full of the Spirit, then I'm hopefully going to get your ears a little tuned in to this series of messages, and you're going to either hopefully come back and join us so that you can find out what that truly means and how that all comes about in your life. And then if you're just not full of the Holy Spirit, that it's something that you desire. Amen? So the Lord has some wisdom in what he's doing and how he's setting all of this up. Let's just flow with it and let's allow his Spirit to minister to us. Amen? So it is evident from these scriptures that we just read that we need men and women who are full of the Holy Spirit to preach and teach the Word of God. So ministry of the Word of God. We need people full of the Spirit to minister the Word of God. The 12 apostles recognized that they needed to stay committed to the preaching of the Word. Why did they recognize that? Because the preaching of the Word is what was affecting the whole church. So they just couldn't stop it. It was what was affecting men and women's lives. It was what was affecting what was happening in the church. People's lives are being changed. Disciples are being made. We know that because who do they speak to? It says the 12 spoke to the other disciples. So it's not just 12 disciples anymore in the church. The church is full of disciples. Okay, I'm not sure they were taking Operation Solid Lives. I don't know what system they had back then. They might have just been taking the classes of the Holy Spirit. But it was happening. Disciples were being made, and these disciples were changing their world. Listen, I don't need to be a church of 300. I don't need to be a church of 1,000. I don't need to be a church of 10,000. But I do want to be a church of people who are changing their world. I do want to be a church of disciples that are going into their workplaces and going into their homes and going into their communities, and lives are being changed. The world is being turned upside down. Pastor, can that happen in the day that we are living in? Oh, most certainly it can. Some of you are already experiencing that, and that's a powerful thing. Kim and I are experiencing that in the schools. We really are. But I think about how many people are attending this church now from our school system. It's amazing to me. And it's a testimony, not just to Kim and I, but to what God is doing in that place. And so praise God for that. We need men and women behind the pulpit who are full of God's Holy Spirit. We need them there on Sundays. We need them there on Wednesdays in our midweek services, in our Bible studies. We need men and women who are full of the Spirit, who are ministering in our men's and women's groups. We just don't want men and women to fill places. We want them to be full of the Spirit because we want them to be able to bring out life, to bring out liberty, to bring out the fullness of God's Word. We need men and women in our Bible study groups. Maybe you get together with two or three women and you study the Bible. Maybe you get together with two or three men and you study the Bible. Whatever the case may be, you look for men and women of wisdom, of integrity, of wholeness, who are full of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Praise God. Why? 1 Corinthians 1:18 tells us, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." What does that mean? That means the message of the cross is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's the story of Christ. It's the story of Him coming on this earth, the story of Him dying, and the story of His resurrection. The gospel, the good news, that every man and woman can be saved. But you see, to those who are perishing, in other words, they're not full of the Spirit, they're not getting the meaning of those words, it's foolishness. Why would a man come and give his life? Why would somebody do that? It doesn't make any sense. It's foolishness. He must have been weak. Jesus must have been weak. And you'll hear this a lot in our society. Oh, Jesus couldn't have been the Son of God. Jesus was this. Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. They stole His body. And all of this stuff, it's foolishness. But to us who are being saved, saved means being sanctified. Saved means coming into an awareness of who God is. Saved means having the Holy Spirit in our lives, because the Holy Spirit is given to us when we're saved. What? The message of the cross is the power of God. That's the difference. The message of the cross. What makes the difference between those who are foolish and wise when it relates to the preaching of the gospel? One thing, the Holy Spirit. Watchman Nee, who wrote many books about prayer and about the Holy Spirit, describes this process in a gift of chocolates that his brother gave him one time for a gift. And he says this, that even though he received the chocolates, he could not tell that they were chocolates because he was handed a box that was wrapped. And so all he knew was he had a box. But his brother had told him that it was a box of chocolates. So the whole time that he's carrying it home, he's recognizing that even though he don't know that they're chocolates, he's taking his brother's word that they're chocolates because his brother said, "Hey, they're chocolates." I want to bring it out a different way. Hold your Bible up in the air. I'm not testing to see if you have one, but if you have one, hold it up. Okay? Maybe it's your phone. Hold it up. If it's your tablet, hold it up. Okay? Hold your Bibles up. Today, my brothers and sisters, you have a book, right? You have a book. Maybe it's on an electronic device. Maybe it's written pages, but you have a book. Oh, it's a big book. And it's got great stories in it. And it contains an unbelievable amount of perfect history. Not like the trash that we're teaching our children today in school, but perfect history. But without the Holy Spirit, all that you'll ever know is that you have a book, right? And you can carry this book around and you can thump people over the head with it and you can lay it on the bedroom table or you can lay it on the living room table. And if you're laying on the living room table, you want a book about that big, right? Because you want to look impressive when people come and visit and you dust it every day, right? You have a book. Without the Holy Spirit, that's all you know. And you can read some of the great stories in it. And you might even be moved by what you read. But it is the Holy Spirit who tells you what's inside the book. Even when you read it, if you're reading it without the Holy Spirit, you're missing something in the book. But the Holy Spirit will open the pages with you. The Holy Spirit will bring the truth of God to your heart. He will teach you the Word of God. He will teach you the living words off of its pages. They'll jump out at you. He will lead you into the truth, and the truth will set you free. And He will lead you into the paths of salvation and into that total freedom. See the difference? Some of us just have a book. Others of us, because of full of the Spirit, we have life. We have truth. We have liberty. We have freedom. We are being set free every day by the reading of not just the book, but the Word of God. The difference between a book that says Holy Scriptures, Holy Bible, and having the Word of God is being full of the Holy Spirit. Do you see why we need preachers today who are full of the same Holy Spirit? Do you see why? And I'm not saying I'm that man. What I'm saying is I'm trying to be. And I'm believing that on Thursdays when I sit down and I say, Lord, you know who's going to be here this Sunday. You know the crowd that's going to be here. You know who's going to be joining us online for either the 100th time or the first time. You know who's just going to type something in and we're going to come up on YouTube or we're going to come up. Lord, you know. I don't know those things. And so today, as I write this message, as I click on my keyboard, these 2,000 words, whatever they are, Lord, I'm believing today that you are going to take what I'm doing on Thursday and manifest your presence on Sunday and make a difference in our lives. That's being full of the Holy Spirit. It's not being full of just, boy, what words can I use here that are just going to sound really good? Man, what thoughts could I bring out, you know, that they're just going to astound people and blow people away? I'm not that person. I write down as the Holy Spirit gives it to me. Sometimes it's a darn mess, but it always has an effect in our lives because I believe it's empowered by the power of God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit conveys the work of the Lord contained in God's Word to us. This is Watchman Nee saying this. Without the Holy Spirit's conveying, God's Word remains only the Word. But when the Holy Spirit comes, the Word is opened up. The Holy Spirit removes all of our excuses for not reading the Word of God and receiving what God has for us in His Word. And I've heard it all. Well, I have a learning disorder. Well, I don't understand godly things. Well, my brain don't think that way. Well, the language is too confusing for me. But listen, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And when the Holy Spirit is our teacher, He supersedes all of those things. He supersedes any mental disability. He supersedes any blockage of thought. He supersedes anything that we might experience and make an excuse for. He supersedes all of that, and He trains us and teaches us and opens up the Word of God to us. No longer do we have a book. Now we have the words of God written not just on pages, but in our hearts. We need church. We need men and women full of the Holy Spirit to stand behind this pulpit in every type of service and every type of message. Do you hear what I'm saying? Every time God's word is spoken, we want it to be spoken through vessels who are prayed up. We want it to be spoken through vessels, men and women, who are studied up. They put their time in, and they're full of the Holy Spirit, which is the presence of God, because it is the Holy Spirit who clarifies the Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit who magnifies the Word of God, and it is the Holy Spirit who speaks to our spirits the truth and the meaning of the Word of God. Amen? We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we need to be full of the Spirit to do the ministry of the kingdom. That would also be the ministry of the church. Pick 7 men who are full of the Spirit that we may appoint them over this business. Over what business? Over the business of giving the food out to the widows. That's what they were talking about. So the ministry of the kingdom is also the business of the kingdom and is also the business of the church. So can I tell you today, church, that there must have been somebody already doing the daily distribution of the food. Isn't that right? Had to have been. Somebody, for whatever reasons, was missing the Hellenistic widows. I don't know who it was. They don't say. But it was happening, right? It just wasn't happening right or rightly. Can I also tell you this morning that those who are full of the Spirit of God have an edge over those who aren't? Many of the men, I love my brothers, many other men will come to me and they'll call me and text me, give me thoughts and things like that. And one of the things that I hear from them, and one of the things that I hear from all of you sometimes, is, Pastor, we don't want to bother you. We know you're busy. And the first thing you're going to hear me say is, I'm never too busy, because this is what I do. And so don't ever feel that you're not important. Don't ever feel that my busyness supersedes what you're going through. That is not the case. And I pray that I've never made you feel that way. And if I have, I apologize. That has never been my heart. But I just want you to know that. This is something I love to do. This is something that I need to do. And so it's something that God does in me through the fullness of His Holy Spirit. This story would seem to show us these points in every way of this whole story that we're looking at. Why else would this be such a mandate from the disciples? Seek Spirit-filled men to do this ministry. There is a wisdom in being full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Not wisdom like what we learn in school. Not wisdom like what we learn in college. I need the fullness of the Holy Spirit if I'm going to stand in front of a church and speak it every week, if I'm going to be your brother and pray for you and lead you and guide you in the things that God wants to do in you, then I understand that I need the wisdom of being full of the Spirit. Brother Ron Link texted me on Tuesday. I'm not going to go into the details. Brother Ron Link texted me on Tuesday about something. Now, when I spoke last week's message, I said something in the message, and I'll bring this out in time, just it's not appropriate right now. I said something in the message. And when I said that in the message, my eyes locked with Ron. And I wanted to say, in the Spirit, you're supposed to do that. I didn't. I didn't even know that Ron connected with me. I just knew that when I said this yet last week, when I made this point, I connected with him. And so Ron texts me on Tuesday and said, Pastor, something that you spoke in the message really touched me, and I want to talk to you about. And I said, great, let's get together Thursday. And so Thursday we met. But I texted him back and I said, I didn't want to spoil it because I didn't want to lose the conversation. I wanted him to tell me. But I said, kind of, I know exactly what this is. Well, how did I know what that was? Because God had made it real to me when I was speaking. I zoned in on him and God said, there he is. I'm like, whoo. So Ron and I got together on Thursday and we talked about it. And it was exactly what I knew it to be. Now, how does that happen? Being full of the Holy Spirit. I could have never known that Brother Ron was thinking that way. I could have never known that God was working on his heart that way outside of something happening of the Holy Spirit to say, this is the way it's going to go. This is the person who's going to be involved. This is what we're going to do. See, that's Holy Spirit wisdom. We will know things and we will see things and we will have answers to things that otherwise we could never know. And I think there are a lot of churches confusing themselves. I think there are a lot of churches banging their heads against the goads, as it says about Paul, right? Banging your head against the wall. They're trying to do things. We're trying to make things happen. We're trying to invent something. We're trying to push the gospel out. And we're not doing it the way, we're not doing it with Spirit wisdom. We're just trying to do it with our own power. We're trying to do it with our own money. We're trying to do it with our own capabilities and what we're able to do and our own giftings. And God says, it's never going to work. You're going to frustrate yourself. Let me tell you what else there is when it's a Spirit-filled person. There is a greater degree of compassion toward people in those who are full of the Spirit. What happens in our spirits, what happens is our spirit is being drawn by the Holy Spirit toward that person, toward that situation, toward that thing. Can I tell you that God loves people? Do you know that? God loves people. Can I tell you that then we need to love people? And not just the people that we think we want to love, and oh well, that person gets written off then. No, if God loves all people, then we as the church need to love all people. And the only way that we can truly love all people, the way that God loves all people, is through the Holy Spirit. And there's been times when I've had to pray, God, I need your Holy Spirit right now because this person is just driving me nuts. I need your Holy Spirit. Because that's not very befitting of a pastor. Right? Come on. Don't be surprised, those of you who greet, those of you who serve, those of you to take offerings, that God doesn't break your heart on a Sunday for a person who's visiting someday and they're sitting in a pew and God doesn't break your heart for that person. Don't be surprised by that. Don't be taken back when all of a sudden you just break out in tears over someone's predicament who God calls it and God causes you to pray and to intercede for them. You don't even know what's going on, but your heart's just broken for them. Don't be surprised by that. It's the same thing that we read about all over the New Testament with Jesus. It would say Jesus was busy, Jesus was tired, Jesus was busy doing this, Jesus was busy doing that. But he left that and went to the multitude. Why? Because he was moved by compassion for the people. And man, I tell you what, it's not always a fun thing. But it's needy, right? It's important. There are times when I don't want to do these things. There are times when I don't want to be involved in that. There are times when, man, I got other things to do. And God breaks my heart. And I'm moved by compassion for the person, for those people, for that thing. Thirdly, there is a great ability in those who are full of the Spirit. Not my third point, my third mini point in this part. Zechariah 4:6, we looked at it last week. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord by Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." How many know that God can figure things out much better than we can? Amen? He knows every heart that's involved. He knew you'd be here today. I didn't. I often wonder who's going to be there. He knows who just joined us online today. Someone might be online right now. This is the first time you've ever connected with us. I don't even know how you found us, but I want you to know it's divine appointment. He knew you'd be online today. He knew you'd be hearing this today, and there's a reason why you need to hear it today, and that's why you joined in with us. He knows every heart that's involved. He knows the end of every situation while we just see the now. He knows the plan for the situation and those involved in it. So who better to lead those who are involved in seeing it through? Can I say this? Those of you who are involved in any ministry at this church, if you want to enjoy it every time you do it, you got to be full of the Spirit. If you want to truly help and minister to those involved in it, you got to be full of the Spirit. If you want to really make a difference in what you're doing, you got to be full of the Spirit. Make sure that you're full of God's Spirit. And we're getting there. We'll get there. And then thirdly today, when we have people who are full of the Spirit doing what God has called them to do, you know what we have? We have multiplication. Multiplication. The church grows. Amen. The ministry or the business of the work of the kingdom of heaven grows. And you know what else grows? The people grow. Look at verse 7. The word of God spreads, it says. The word of God spread. Why? Because everybody was in their place doing what they were called to do. These seven men were put into place to take care of the widows, make sure nobody was left out. The disciples went to speaking the word, to encouraging the church and edifying the church. And in so doing, the church grows. Now, I want you to know something. God's multiplication is not like ours. God doesn't have to deal with the rules of math that you and I have to deal with. He creates his own. See, to us, in our math, 5 times 2 equals 10, right? That's what I was always taught, okay? In God's math, 5 times 2 is a lot different than our 10. 5 loaves times 2 fish is 5,000. Don't ask me how that works, because my math teacher would say, you're an idiot if you believe you can take care of 5,000 people. And that's just the men. It's probably more like 15,000. It doesn't compute to these minds, but it computes to the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? And so if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, then guess what? We can't do God's math. We're limited to 12 inches equals 1 foot and 3 feet equal 1 yard. We're limited to that. But God's Holy Spirit in us says, wait a minute, you're not limited to anything, because you serve the God who created the heavens and earth, who just spoke them into being. And if God wants to bring this out of that, who are you to question it? Yeah, but my math teacher, no, don't worry about what your math teacher said. Stop thinking here and allow the Spirit to minister, because God's math is different than our math. Multiplication and growth all come from God. It is the Lord who promotes, and it is the Lord who puts down. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who try to build it. Why? Because we try to build the house by simple math. 2 times 2 equals 4. Well, we need this many chairs. We need that many pews. We need this amount of space. God says, well, wait a minute. Who told you that? It's like Adam and Eve right in the garden. Who told you you were naked? Right? You're not supposed to know that. It wasn't in my thinking that you would know that. Right? Who told you that? Wipe that out. Trust in what my Holy Spirit does. I believe, church, I'm bringing it to a close. I believe that 2022 is going to be a very exciting year for this church. I can't even pretend to know what that means. I just know that's the word that God placed in my heart for this year. It's just something that I've been told to believe. My math doesn't figure it out. My brain don't figure it out. I don't see it all happening. But I know that if God told me to believe it, then I'm just going to be a little crazy enough to believe it. I would love for you to be a little crazy enough to believe it with me. Amen? If these messages are setting your heart on fire with the same beliefs as what God is telling me to believe for, and what I've been sharing for just these 2 weeks now, then just continue to pay attention to what the Lord is saying in these messages. Amen? Let's trust God. Don't try to get ahead of it. Don't try to get to where we think we need to be. If you are not understanding at all, don't worry. I don't understand it all neither. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot more to come. And there's a lot more in what God wants to do. There will be greater explanation of how to be full of the Spirit and what that all means. But if you know that you are full of God's Spirit, then here's what I'm saying. It's time to step out. It's time to step into one of these ministries. It's time to be a part of what's going on, because God has a plan and He's going to use you for the growth and for the manifestation of His presence in this church. It's time to get involved. I believe and I hope that I've proven that today from the Word of God, that you are needed in ministries and in the work of God. Amen? Amen. And for those of you who aren't sure where you are, oh, you're going to find out within the next few weeks. And we're going to be excited about what God does. Amen? Can we pray?